this is where Texas politics gets interesting. Here again are two guys named Jason, some great guests, and cold Texas beer for another smart conversation on Y'allitics, the unofficial political podcast of Texas.
Hangover edition. And let's pass out the beer. So
let's definitely do that.
Let's do something.
We'll hand it to our guests first.
So, we make a little room.
But we have
these. Wait. You didn't mean all these.
No, share those. We have some Fort Worth beer here.
Okay, some RAR.
We got Bud Kennedy with us from the Fort Worth Star Telegram.
Oktoberfest. That's what I need.
We got Bernadine Steptoe with us, political producer at WFAA TV.
Panther Island Brewing's good. Can't even get this open.
It's been a long night, Bud.
Yeah, I can't even get the
beer
out.
Hard to tear apart a six-pack anymore.
Yeah, you know, weakened.
So why do we have so many choices?
Because I had this.
Because this is election night. It's all about choices.
Yeah. Wait okay. A minute, what year is this
hey,
from?
Hey, good response.
This is recent here. Hand me that beer, Bud.
I want one of those.
I'll just throw the beer on the ground. Yeah. Know,
I'm going to do one of those that you've
hey,
got.
Hey, be careful because it might.
It's taller.
You want to drink a lot?
No. I never finish it. These are lukewarm, too. Where'd you get
this
these?
Is this
is cold.
Wait
this
a minute. Let me
cold.
See if there's a colder one than what I got.
That was like okay. Far back in the fridge.
Jason, right. This is cold.
Okay. I'll take that.
I got to have a little bit.
I base my here on
yep.
The,
priority is cold. The there we go. That's better.
Listen,
I don't know what it is. Oh, it's a hazy IPA.
Huge night for Texas Republicans.
It was.
Yeah.
Is. It's still going on.
Texas Republicans. And the question we're asking, you know, is what in the heck happened to Democrats?
Well, let me just say this. We can't just limit it and say, hey, what's going on with this party here in Texas? It's a massive
sure.
Night for Republicans across the country. I mean, some of these battleground states, these Senate races, I mean, these things are neck and neck. You've got North Carolina now called as we come on here for Donald Trump.
As we come on the air.
As we come on the air, as they say. And so, you know, we've got six battlegrounds that are still out, but he's ahead in four of them, at least as we speak right now. Now, that doesn't mean a whole lot because that can, you know, fluctuate, but what a night.
Yeah, let's talk about what happened in Texas specifically because Colin Allred just didn't show up.
Democrats didn't show up.
Well, and let's get back to Colin Allred because that's the word that I'm hearing even from the not just Dallas, but these county chairs, the Democratic county chairs, that he didn't show up. He wouldn't show up. That they could not get him to come to any of their activities. And it was as if he didn't want to win.
Hmm.
And I heard that from...
I'm not sure if that's the case, but I just...
Well, I'm just telling you what the... Sure. The Democratic county chair, see.
I think he was trying a different tact than what Beto O'Rourke did in 2018. You know, it didn't win. It didn't put Beto over the line. Beto famously went to all 254 counties in Texas and made a big thing of that. And I think that, you know, Allred wanted to run a different race, do a different kind of thing, but it didn't work out either. In fact, the Beto model looks pretty good right now. He lost by about 2.6%, I think it was. At this point, Allred is down 10%.
What do you think, Bud?
Well, I'd say this was structurally going to be a bad cycle for the Democrats. You know, Colin was a Dallas Democrat running in the Democratic Party. Everybody lives south of Austin to Houston. Unknown to the Democratic Party, was still unknown a couple of months before the election. 20% of Democrats said they didn't really know anything about him. You have a presidential race at the cycle, the top of the cycle. The Trump was going to carry a substantial number of votes. It wasn't like the Beto race because Beto and Cruz were at the top of the ticket. There was no presidential race that year. In this case, Cruz could have ridden. He did ride Trump's coattails. Trump did better than Cruz did.
Yeah.
So it really was not an advantageous year for the Democrats. It just turned out worse than the polls.
Yeah, because,
but
you know, as you mentioned, Allred also led Harris here. He did better than she did at the top of the ticket. And on the other side, as you said, Trump was leading what Cruz was doing. So there was an inversion there, but it just wasn't enough of an inversion for Allred to make a dent.
Jason Wheeler.
Uh-oh, here we go, bro.
About to get some truth.
Here we go, yeah.
Politics.
She doesn't have a beer yet.
Wait a minute. Politics 101. Politics 101.
Yeah.
You solidify and get out your base.
Yeah.
And there's no evidence of Colin Ollery doing that. And now, obviously, as a presidential candidate, Vice President Harris was at the top of the ticket, but she was not necessarily at the top of the ticket. You have to look at Colin Ollery because he's the one who was running the Senate race, which was statewide.
Right.
And there's no evidence that he initially tried to turn out his base, his Democratic base. Mm-hmm. Now, he tried towards the end of the campaign, but by then, apparently, it was too late.
Well, he had been running for a year and a half. He announced in the last legislative session, near the end of the last legislative session last year, the initial campaign we talked about may have been more of a stealth campaign because he was trying to lay low and just take advantage of people who might just be, you know, disappointed in Cruz, disaffected Republicans. But then he ran on, like all Democrats did this cycle, the abortion restrictions. This is the first election since the fall of Roe versus Wade, presidential election. That didn't resonate with voters.
That was all he ran on. That was all the whole Democratic campaign was about. They went all in on abortion with no real indication that that was going to carry them to victory.
It pulled low from the get-go here in Texas. It was behind immigration. It was behind the economy. And it seems to me like, based on the results we have, the economy is the issue that resonated with voters.
I'm going to say again, obviously you should know what motivates your base, yeah. What motivation. Because look at Ted Cruz. I mean, he was talking boilerplate Republican right wing through the whole election. He was motivating and getting his base out, and that's what they did. You know, we can analyze all along about what the Democrats didn't do, but then also you have to look at not only Democrats, but look at these candidates. And if they ran on abortion knowing that it didn't resonate with their base, why run on it? Mm-hmm. But you poll.
I don't think they knew at the time. I mean, they clearly
Jason
know
Whiteley,
now.
Jason Whiteley, you poll, you get out. And see, one of his biggest complaints was he was not out there among Democrats.
One of the biggest complaints about Colin Ollery.
Oh, that's what we're talking about.
Well, just making sure. That
he was at the, oh no, you can't go any further. Because, okay, the Democrats obviously did not turn out. And as we said, what the Democrats were pushing, the issues, was not resonating. And they were not crossing over, pulling any Republicans or independents to their side.
Well, Bernadine, I've heard this complaint, and we have during the whole campaign, that Colin Ollery wasn't campaigning to the base and wasn't campaigning enough to Democrats. Are there enough Democrats to win in Texas? The Republicans are winning 70 to 30 in some of these
races. That's a good point. Are there enough Democrats to win in Texas?
Jason White. I mean, it just doesn't make sense that we could keep talking this. We could blame Democrats, which is true. Because as the Democrats said on our panel, that they don't put the money in. And actually, there has been talk that they need to change the top of the a party. If you keep losing, what do you do? I mean, this is, they're
well,
not
if you're Republicans,
doing,
you keep running Donald Trump, and you must have some success.
And the Republicans.
Well, they are success. Why start? Why run away from
it? And the top of the Republican Party at the state level is not real well put together either. It's flaked out into about five different factions.
And they're winning.
Now they're winning because they have a governor, and you have the Greg Abbotts and the John Cornyns, and obviously Ted Cruz, who carries some weight and pulls everybody along.
Yeah,
and you have a strong presidential candidate like Donald Trump this time.
Yeah, are they winning or are the individual candidates winning? I mean, I think there's probably both.
It's probably both.
Well, Donald Trump made the whole party strong this cycle. Donald Trump ran a campaign of grievance and anger, but strength. And brought all this emotion together. If you look at it, the Democrats, they had to pull a campaign together in the last 2 months for a new presidential candidate. She was still, at Labor Day, she was still telling people what her favorite color was and how to pronounce her name, things that in a normal year would have been accomplished a year earlier. She didn't have any kind of rollout time. And they really had some disadvantage. I mean, you had a vice president running with the help of Liz Cheney, I mean, whose father was one of the least popular vice presidents. He had one of the least popular vice presidents with the help of the daughter of one of the least popular vice presidents.
But
against
Harris,
a president whose somewhat fondly remembered by a large group of people.
And Democrats had a lot more money nationally.
Well, to be honest with you, other than the Democrats, National Democrats, not necessarily listening to their base when they didn't want them, the Democratic Party to get rid of Biden, which I think is better, but she ran a flawless campaign if you look at what she actually had to do in such a short period of time. But I'm going back to the Texas Democrats.
Yeah, I think it's
and that's where the change needs to be.
I think.
But what is the change? No,
that's what I was going to ask.
At the top.
We've talked about this forever. So what, a new chairman for the
They're not listening.
Democratic Party?
They're not. Of course. Of course, if you cycle after cycle after cycle, you keep losing.
Here's the thing, too. This isn't just a loss of some races here this time for Democrats in Texas. This is a sea change in some ways. I mean, I can't help but bring up Cameron County at the very tip of Texas where you've got Harlingen and Brownsville. Cameron County has long been a Democratic stronghold.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a stronghold. This time around in Cameron County, Trump, let me qualify this, where are we at right now? 94% of the vote, the estimated total vote counted. Trump is ahead 52.5% to 46.7% for Harris. So he has a 6-point lead over her in Cameron County. You go, well, that doesn't sound huge. The last time around, Biden beat Trump 56 to 43. So that's a 19-point swing in one presidential cycle. Let's go up the border a little bit further to Laredo, Webb County. This time, Harris and Trump neck and neck. 49.9% for her, 49.4% for him. The last time, Biden beat him by 23 points. That is a stunning spread. You're talking about, the Democratic Party is going to have to just go back to basic building blocks. I mean, you know, the Republicans have been cutting into their advantage in the Valley, but this isn't a marginal chip away. This is not an erosion. This is a wipeout in what used to be a stronghold for Democrats.
It's the kind of wipeout we used to see when George W. Bush was running. He would demolish a Democrat 60 to 30 and carry everybody along. And, you know, the Democrats would be reduced to nothing. But now we do need to point out, Jason, that depending how the presidential race comes out, the midterms could go against the party in the White House.
Right.
And so that, you know, could pose a good, you know, omen for the Democrats in the next cycle.
It could. But you know what, and I was going to wait until exit polling to even think about the possibility that they just didn't want a woman. But I'd rather look at some exit polling before I reach that conclusion
I don't think we should get in front of ourselves on the presidential race yet. I think there's plenty to talk about in Texas with the complete implosion, as I would say, of the Democratic Party.
And so how did they implode when they lose every cycle?
But it's getting worse.
The Republicans flip House seats and flip Senate seats in the legislature, I mean, the Democrats didn't have anything in the House and Senate. Now they have less.
Yeah, it's getting worse.
It's getting worse, but it's not imploding. It's just getting worse. They're losing and losing and losing. They're not winning.
What does this mean, though, for this upcoming legislative session that starts in January? Are we likely to see, Bud, a whole lot more red meat for Republicans?
I think you see, not only do you see vouchers, you see more argument over moral issues. You see, it becomes very difficult to stave off a lot of the questions that come to the legislature, and you find people arguing again about whether it's textbooks, or you find more arguments about faith and values issues, and you find more America First that's brought to the legislature, because after an election like this, the number of voters and the sheer strength in Texas will mean that people, if you have a faction of the party, the America First faction will be dominant, and that will be what everybody wants to appeal to in the Texas legislature.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Bernadette.
Can I ask
Please.
A question?
You gonna ask us a question?
This election, what does it bode for Dave Feeler?
Speaker.
For the Speaker.
To get reelected as Speaker.
Some of his people were elected, yeah. And some of his candidates were elected. They were swept in with the Republicans, too.
But will he and will they feel the need to morph and draw themselves a little bit more to the right, do you think?
Well, I think he'll have to pull himself more to the right in order to gain the 76 votes to get elected. I think both Dade Phelan and David Cook had a good night, because I think, you know, some of both of their candidates won races and flipped seats. I mean, you have the mayor of Uvalde winning in that seat. I mean, you have people who have said they're going to support Dade Phelan who won.
Mm-hmm. And then vouchers too. I mean, clearly, I think we were discussing downstairs earlier in our coverage, school vouchers are all but guaranteed now.
School vouchers are a cinch, and now the question is, how big will they be?
That's the question. But
and getting back to the Senate race here, this is the first time that Cruz has had a mandate. I mean, this is a decisive win for Ted Cruz.
How is that bipartisanship going to keep working?
You don't think it is? He said tonight that, hey, I'm for those who didn't vote for me, I'm going to represent you as well. Do you think that won't continue at all?
His push
for bipartisanship.
With the edge the Republicans will have in the Senate, and with Chairman Cruz leading a committee, I think there's no reason anymore to be bipartisan.
Yeah.
And he only became bipartisan when he started running for office. He has 6 more years now.
So he can be partisan for a few years before he needs to come back in the middle.
And what does this mean for John Cornyn's next run for the Senate? What will we see there? They're two very different animals, he and Ted Cruz, even though they're in the same party.
John Cornyn is still more popular in the polls. John Cornyn and Greg Abbott are the two most popular Republicans. Neither one of them was even running this time.
Mm-hmm.
So John Cornyn's still more popular, but he'll have to enunciate a clear vision that appeals to the voters who are now the strength of the party.
Yeah.
How do you think 2024's general election is going to be remembered in Texas? What's the headline here?
Just like 2016, no, I'm kidding. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, bud.
What's the headline, Bernadine? What do you think it is?
It's just that Democrats lost again, but that's not a headline.
That's not news, Bernadine.
I know, that's why I said it's not a headline. But now, I don't know if this is a headline, but Bud, I'll say this after. If you want to go ahead and give us a headline, then I'll talk about what I'm going to say about what I'm going to say.
Well, go ahead, because that's
good.
I'm just
leave us off, Bernadine.
You two are dancing.
The Democrats ran the guy from Kaufman County that just drove around the state in a pickup truck. And I think he did better against Phil Graham than Allred did.
But that was a different time.
Way back when. Yeah.
But you know what? One thing that was different about this election, it wasn't different. It goes back to that you can call a winner during early voting. Because Cruz, a lot of these races were called. We never got into day of voting. They were called.
Yeah.
The early voting was so strong and so huge.
People. Right.
Oh my
overwhelming.
Goodness. That's one amazing thing here. Now, you know how we always say, okay, you can tell who the winner is by the early vote, but in this election cycle, they never got into the election day
Right. Well, let me flip it around then. What did Republicans do right?
They turned out their voters.
They always turn out their voters.
It was just a record number.
What do you think, Bud? What do you think Republicans did right?
I think Republicans are really good at identifying newcomers to Texas. You know, they plant the Republican Party in new subdivisions. They introduce them, so they arrive along with a welcome wagon. They arrive along with a moving van. And they let people know where the Republicans meet and how to be a Republican and, you know, and when the next Republican election is. Republicans are really good at contacting newcomers, and I don't see Democrats doing that. You can go out in northern Tarrant County and in Haslett, Avondale, some of those communities off 287, and you can ask people, do you ever meet a Democrat? Do you know a Democrat? And they'll think, well, I think maybe my kid's third grade teacher, but I can't think of anybody else.
And whose responsibility?
And by the way, there's no mention, where was education? Were the educators activated? Were teachers activated or motivated to vote? I mean, we did not hear, although abortion was an issue, we did not hear much about, Allred's family was teachers, he mentioned it, but you didn't see any big organization of teachers or get out the vote. That was a big missing chunk of Democratic vote.
Yeah, that's a good point. But whose responsibility is it to go out and reach out to these new voters? A state party or the county party? Because they're both minimal.
How many counties have a Democratic Party in Texas?
That's a great question.
We have 254 counties, and the last I looked, only about 60 counties had an active Democratic Party, I think, in all the, you know, in more than half the state, the county clerk conducts the Democratic primary because there is no Democratic Party. And the, you know, it's just the Democratic Party is held together very loosely. And I mean, they're not as small as the Libertarian Party, but they're almost closer to the Libertarian Party than they are to the Republican Party.
And at what point is there sort of a demoralization that just leads to voter apathy if you're a Democrat and you've gone 30 years now without any statewide victories? There's a point at which I would imagine as a party, even if you're a loyal Democrat, that you just go, you know what, I'm not showing up to the polls.
That was about 20 years ago, Wheeler.
I think we saw that tonight. I mean, you look at some of these, what are traditionally strongholds, these urban counties, you know, the Harris counties of the world, Dallas County. You didn't see the kinds of margins like what would be expected in a year like this.
And I think this year may have hurt a little worse. This was like Lucy yanking the football away from Charlie Brown, because they thought the polls were close. They thought the races were close.
Right.
And instead they got drilled, and you know, they lost everything in Tarrant County this year. And it just seemed like the races that Democrats thought they had a chance, they weren't anywhere near.
And then you know what, as a first-time voter, when a first-time voter is motivated to go out and vote for this election, for this, and they lose, are they coming back? Mm-hmm. The Democratic Party has an omen of a job.
What they was need the Democrats' message this cycle?
It was abortion.
And
you're having to think.
Well, no, it was abortion. It was abortion, but I was just thinking that, you know, they need to hire some good messengers, because one thing about Republicans, they can message. They're experts at it. But
talked about the demise of the Texas Democratic Party for forever.
And Jason, it's not getting better.
It's not getting better. It's getting worse. And that's why I call this the Tuesday Night Massacre against the better judgment of
my
colleagues.
Uh-huh. That's a good one.
You like that one?
I like that one.
See, you hear that? She liked that one. The Tuesday
like
Night Massacre.
Every now and then
that's what it was.
And then you get somebody.
Our producers didn't write that at all. They said it's a terrible title to use. Well, Bud, give me something. You always have good ones.
I keep thinking of Sheriff Wayburn on his interview. He said, I can't raise him from the dead. You know,
maybe that's the title. Yeah. We can't raise Texas Democrats from the dead.
But you know what? Now perhaps I get what the producers are doing, but almost every election, Republicans won big.
Yeah. Republican incumbents won big. They won. They survived. I haven't seen the final for Morgan Meyer in Dallas County, state representative who represents Park Cities, Preston Hollow. Those areas. Angie Chin Button overcame a pretty good challenge from Avery Bishop in Dallas County as well, one of the other seats that Democrats thought they could knock off.
Now, I heard strong radio advertising for Morgan Meyer and Angie Chin Button. Angie Chin Button already very popular. Morgan Meyer, you know, fairly well known. They had really strong broadcast advertising. I didn't see very much for their opponents. Yeah. I don't think Democrats had much of an advertising campaign other than Colin Allred's real intense broadcast effort, but I don't think I ever heard or saw another radio or television commercial for a Democrat.
Last thing I want to bring up is, and this is something I think that was watched statewide as well, these amendment items in Dallas, propositions S, T, and U. It looks like, I mean, you know, as we're speaking right now, and I don't know how much of the vote is really in on this. We've had this weird situation tonight where they're not really updating the percent reporting, but we're just seeing, you know, the numbers for who's voted for and against. And it looks like the only one that's, you know, going forward right now anyway, and it's close, is S, the Proposition S, which gives anyone the ability to sue the city. And waives the city's, you know, usual immunity. This is something that's going to be watched by every municipality in Texas, because the city has real worries that if you open them up to lawsuits for any, you know, if someone says, hey, we think you're in violation of this federal law or this state law or your own ordinances, then we can just file lawsuit after lawsuit. And I think that the city is worried that they're just going to be, or at least proponents of, you know, or opponents of this are worried that the city is just going to be inundated and mired in expensive lawsuits.
Well, let's look at the false pretext of that campaign. It was supposed to help the police. This has opened up the police to lawsuits. Anybody can sue the police over anything now.
True.
That usually had immunity. Now you can sue the police every day. And it's almost to the point, if Dallas weren't so big, if this happened in a smaller city, they would go in and declare Chapter 11 the next day if they had to face this kind of legal risk.
Yeah.
And I think that they really did not run a clear campaign. There was obviously a lot of effort by Dallas leaders who thought they were well known and thought they could get the word out and thought that their name would make people vote, but they didn't have a clear explanation of what was wrong and why.
It came in pretty late too, that opposition.
They came in very late and not very directly, and they thought it would be easy to knock this down.
It's not totally decided yet.
This is a mess.
That we can tell anyway. S is ahead by about 11,000 votes at this point. Still have no idea how much vote is left to be counted, but the other two fared worse than that and are not going forward, at least as of right now.
One of the last things I'll bring up here, this is a Republican contact of mine. He says, based on tonight's outcome in Texas, Texas stays hard Republican until at least 2031.
Yeah.
2031?
2031.
That's very specific. Why 2031?
I guess, is that the 2030 election or the 2032 election?
He says 2031, so
yeah, because
he says Cornyn's going to run for re-election. His prediction is Cornyn will run for re-election 2026 if John Thune gets majority leader, which is likely, because Senate, the U.S. Senate has already flipped over to Republicans. But then the question then is, well, does Cornyn get a challenge from Ken Paxton, who has long been rumored to want to run for that seat, the Attorney General?
And in these midterms, we saw close races for Lieutenant Governor Attorney General 4 years ago. We could see close races again, although I think the Republicans obviously have gained more ground in Texas. So you look at 2026, then you say, well, maybe by 2030, if there's a Republican in the White House, the Democrats might do well at those midterms. It could be 2030 or 2034.
It's a very long game.
they're at the bottom now. I mean, they have sunk further than they have in the last 20 years.
So what's the change then? Because I was asking Krista Castaneda on our streaming program earlier on Tuesday night, what do you do? And there were a number of people, I don't think she said it specifically, but there were a number of people who said you got to change the person at the top of the party.
You have to.
But they had people run against Gilberto Hinojosa for chairman of the party, and he ended up winning.
So they've got to find a way to repeat it, replace it. But what other explanation? It's not working bottom up.
Well, I don't think you can blame one person
we're talking about changing the top. But if you don't start with...
Well, to Bud's point, I'm sorry, Bernadine, go ahead.
Okay,
No, I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I didn't realize the stat that Bud just threw out there a moment ago, that of the 254 counties in the state, there are only 60.
You can look on the Democrats' website and see how many. They have pictures of all the county chairs. There's not very many.
I'm blind, dude. I can't see what that is. Oh. Okay, gotcha.
Jason, who recruits county chairs?
Who recruits the county chairs? I would presume. You tell me. Is it the donors?
Who recruits that county chair?
The county chairman or chairwoman of for the Democratic Party.
Who recruits his campaign chairs?
No, I'm talking about, you said Democratic.
I'm talking about the actual elected county chair in each county. There's not a county chair in each county.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
There's
was,
not even I, an organized Democratic Party in most of the counties
in
Texas.
Yeah, I thought you were talking about the Democratic Party chairs for different counties or whatever.
And you might wonder why we're spending so much time on Texas Democrats. Well, we like conflict in stories. It creates a story. Otherwise, what's the point?
We can sit here and talk about how the Republicans had a great night because they had a leader of the ticket who had a strong message that motivated voters and drove people out for the main reason that they were afraid of the other team winning, the other party winning.
And so there was a lot of, you know, question and concern early on that, that the women vote might be undercounted in the surveys.
That was my thing.
That's what I wondered about too. Was the women vote undercounted? Was the abortion issue going to be a bigger issue? I'm shocked that it didn't hardly register at all. The exit polling or anywhere else.
The women vote was undercounted, but the voting, there wasn't as big of a turnout. The women didn't show up in a lot of places.
And then, and I'm sure if I'm not correct, we're sitting, no split ticketing.
Well, there was...
split ticketing.
Yeah, Trump won a couple percentage points more in Texas than Ted Cruz won.
Yeah.
So Cruz underperformed him. So more people were voting for Donald Trump, and at some point there were, you know, thousands of people.
But did they vote for
split ticketing? I would argue that they did go split ticket and vote for Allred in those because he outperformed Harris here. So,
you know,
somebody had to come over.
You don't have to split the ticket.
Or they skipped it.
You could just skip it.
Or skipped it, yeah.
Yeah, you could just skip it.
Yeah, but it wasn't enough to help him in any appreciable way.
No. So you didn't see a lot of women splitting the ticket, which is some of the thinking.
So what does that say? Women aren't concerned about they weren't voting
young
abortion
women,
issue?
We're mobile enough now. Young women that, from what I can tell, believe that they can go to another state and receive the care that they're looking for.
So it wasn't enough to drive them to the polls?
It was not enough to drive young people out. Young people voted in fewer numbers than the last election. Women voted in fewer numbers. That turnout was off, and the Democrats thought that would go through the roof, and it didn't even outperform the last cycle.
Shouldn't Democrats have known that? Shouldn't they have polled something? I'm sure they did poll because that's what they really hit on that much. But how was their polling that bad, I guess, is the question.
It just appears to me that you just had that partisan divide. The Republicans voted Republicans, and the Democrat voters Democrat. It's just that they didn't turn out. They just didn't turn out.
It's unbelievable.
I don't discredit Allred that much. I think he tried to be a middle of the road candidate, and that's why he tried so hard to not seem like a partisan Democrat early in the campaign. He was trying to get the independent voters, but he didn't have a clear enough message other than abortion. He did not have the kind of message. You know, on the border, he tried to say, well, I support a barrier, but he didn't explain what kind of barrier. He just did not seem like he had a clear message about anything else.
I've come up with something else.
You said you're done, bro.
I closed myself out early.
So, go ahead.
I think we only have a couple of minutes left here. But what does this say? We've heard it time and time again, and I think especially when Trump is on the ballot, for some reason, this goes haywire. But what does this say about polling tonight? I mean, not only here in Texas, but in these battleground states. Well, you know, some of them still neck and neck, so, you know, maybe they performed right there. But polling in general in some of these Senate races and so forth, I mean, it's way off again.
We've known for 8 years that people lie, that people will vote for Trump but not admit it. Mm-hmm. And so that's always been a factor. We know that the polls are not reaching as many people because they don't answer the phone. They don't disclose how they're voting. If you tell somebody on a poll how you're voting, suddenly that shows up in a database somewhere else.
I wouldn't answer somebody if they asked me.
So the polls are not reaching people, they're not accurate, and we're not getting anything even resembling good numbers. Look at how far apart they were. Look at the disparity in the polls, and they were 15 points apart in some races. Mm-hmm, sorry, I'm talking too much, Courtney.
No, you're not.
So what's the future then? Because campaigns rely on polling. The public relies on polling. Donors rely on polling.
I don't think they're going away.
Well, they're not going away, but they've got to be
tweaked
somehow.
But according to reports for this cycle, they're supposed to have gotten better. So I think they just need to keep getting better. Because they're not going away.
Bernadine, the U.S. Senate race, this thing was neck and neck. It was within the margin of error.
Just while
for
I'm
months
gonna,
going into this, and it's a 10-point spread.
The pollsters have as much rebuilding to do as the Democratic Party here in Texas. You know, I mean, that's just way off.
No, they don't have as much to do. Yeah, pollsters don't have as much to work.
That's going
to
be a heavy lift.
They need to identify bad polls and don't use them as well.
Well, it is a heck of a story for Republicans in Texas. And, man, I don't know what to say to Democrats. You can't even say go back to the drawing board. I think they never left the drawing board.
Well, thanks, everybody, for watching, listening once again.
It was a big night for Texas Republicans. And we have to credit all the hard work and getting out and getting people registered and voted at a time when it was tough to get people registered and voted. They turned out the numbers.
This has been another edition of Yolitics, the Hangover Edition.
The Hangover Edition, and Democrats are going to really feel that hangover come Wednesday morning.
Yeah. Thanks for being with us, as always.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Click subscribe and get Yolitics every week. Yolitics, the unofficial political podcast of Texas.